Supervisors, please take your seats. All right, it is 6 o'clock. I will call the meeting to order and ask people to log in if you are here. Any board members present, that is a quorum. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, let's continue with supervisor conference reports, but as part of that, I'm going to call on Leon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to give you a report here that the food out in the hallway is from Craig's Meat, because we support them with the deer donation each year. And in addition to what the DNR puts in with it for the processing, and they had a quite good year considering for what the rest of the state done. In La Crosse County, we in 09 we done 82 for La Crosse County in 09, and this year we done 88 deer. And the impressive part of that is that up there, Craig's, they dressed out 48 pounds of ground venison is what we got per deer. And just to make a comparison, in the other counties, Buffalo County was 39 pounds per deer. Jackson County was in the low 40s. And one other note on that, statewide, the pounds of meat donated through this fund is 160,000 pounds, and that supplies 640,000 meals. That's for the state of Wisconsin. So Craig's wants to thank you for the support.
Leon, can you explain to the board where that meat goes to?
The majority of it goes to the Hunger Task Force right here in Onalaska.
All right.
Or La Crosse in the Onalaska areas, where it goes. And they are in more need than ever, because there's more people coming, and the venison itself is a real additive for them. They really like it.
Great.
So the more the merrier. I wish we could get our... See, we had set aside... We do in the budget actually have $4,000. That would be enough for 200 deer in a few years ago. In 08 when we started, I think we had 160 deer. This year it was 88, as I said before. It's down, but a lot of the people that got their own deer kept their own deer this year also. So,
okay.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for that report. Other conference reports, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a report from a Brennan company about the Port of La Crosse and the barge fleeting summary. It's kind of interesting. I'll start it, give it to Ray down here to start sending it around, and you can look it over. If you got any questions, you can check with me later on. Then the Port of La Crosse Joint Board of Harbor Commissioners annual report was in your packet or in your locker. I guess it may be in your locker. You can look that over, and if you got any questions, Carl Green or I can probably answer that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Other conference reports. Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On your desk is a lovely lilac-colored report that I put together after I spent a week in Washington, D.C. at the NACO Legislative Conference. And I tried to sum it up as well as I could. And you see in the first part there, outstanding themes. We're not getting any more money. Everybody's saying, oh, be creative. You're doing more with less. Until people in the audience stand up and say, we're doing less with less. But, you know, it's a little tense. We had a wide range of speakers. And under familiar topics, there are government initiatives to lower jail and prison populations. And we're already doing all of that. And the Affordable Care Act, prevention and public health investments. I thought those items there, along with Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign, are relevant in light of our recent work on complete streets. Now, the 2011 key legislative priorities are what NACO is planning on pursuing this year in their lobbying with Congress. And they are planning 60 webinars in the near future on a wide variety of county topics, so check the website for those. And finally, my notes on the mood in Washington. The Washington congressional people that spoke to us were feeling ignored because we were spending more attention on what was happening in Madison, and it was like they were pouting. It was really kind of strange. And yet, nobody had any kind of new startling ideas for fixing things. So again, no county money was used on this trip. If you look at your most recent county news, that's a good summary of everything that happened there. And I think everyone should have received an invitation to Monday morning's Journey Home. It's a bus ride that simulates and the experience of a child who's being taken out of their home and put into foster care. And I would encourage as many of you as possible to attend. Thank you.
Thank you. Monica Cruz.
Thank you. Supervisor Wood and I went to the Wisconsin Counties Association Regional Legislative Meeting this afternoon and received more gloom and doom and uncertainty. There's much uncertainty regarding the implementation of the budget repair bill because nobody knows whether it will actually withstand the legal challenges that are going on right now. But if it does, it will fundamentally change the way the state and the counties do business with each other, the way we relate to employees. One thing that was pointed out, that administrative rules can now be written that can supersede state law, and those administrative rules would be good for 4 years until January of 2015. That's a big change. It puts providers in a very difficult position for County Human Services of having to deny services to clients who can't pay copays. And we also found out that in the income maintenance area, the county stands to lose $67,026 because the state will deduct from a county's health services basic county allocation the amount of county levy that was levied in the year 2009. So we're, you know, likely to lose $67,000 in that area alone. So it was not a very confidence-inspiring meeting.
Thank you, Monica Cruz. That gets us to Arlene Benrud.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day. Brochures that I left on your desk, you can leave them and I will pick them up. I just want to let you know every year the Shamrock Club, we go to church like 7 in the morning, and by 8:30 we're on a bus. We go to four schools in the morning and five nursing homes in the afternoon. We got back about 4:30, quarter to 5, and we have like Rick Provisky, and we have the Irish Rose, and they have the dancers, and the school children really enjoyed, and the nursing home people, they get tears in their eyes when we sing with them. And so I just want to tell you it's worth the day. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other supervisor conference reports? Seeing none, I want to move one item up from Mr. O'Malley's report to mine, and that is the update on the potential spring flooding and emergency operations center. As I think most board members are aware, when we have an emergency in La Crosse County, it is my responsibility as chair to declare a state of emergency and activate the County Emergency Operations Center. It is our anticipation that I will be doing that next week, at the latest by Friday, April 1st, but perhaps before then. To give you an indication of what happens when that occurs, I want to read this outline here so that people can understand what we're going to be seeing over the next few weeks. And by the way, once the floods arrive, it is the expectation of the experts that we're going to be dealing with the Emergency Operations Center for about 2 months. It's not something like a flash flood where it comes and it goes right away. It's going to be with us for a good long time. So let me just read through this so that people are aware, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. In anticipation of near-record or record-setting Mississippi River flooding in April 2011, the County Emergency Management Coordinator, that's Keith Butler, is recommending a Level 3 activation of the County Emergency Operations Center beginning on Friday, April 1, 2011. I want to interject here real quickly. The town of Campbell has already done that, and that's why we might actually move ours up a little earlier to be proactive in that respect. Furthermore, the recommendation includes the cooperative use of the Emergency Operations Center by both county government officials and City of La Crosse and Town of Campbell officials. The Level 3 EOC activation would require a daily briefing session during which all appropriate agency representatives would provide situational reports regarding flood preparations and planning activities. Coordination with other municipal EOCs, such as the Town of Campbell, will be conducted at the county EOC. And that, by the way, is down the hall in the auditorium. Dedicated communication systems, including two-way public safety radio communication equipment, has been installed and is operational in the county EOC. As the flooding situation worsens, the daily briefings would be increased in number, resulting in an eventual Level 2 EOC activation. At that time, the EOC facility would need to be reserved entirely for flood emergency coordination activities. Level 1 EOC activation will be required when actual flooding is occurring or is dangerously imminent. It is not anticipated that 24-hour round-the-clock use of the joint city-county EOC would be required unless a catastrophic levee breach or other similar-scale disaster event should occur. Agencies and organizations with reservations for the auditorium down there are going to have to change those, because once the Emergency Operations Center is up and running, they will be taking over all of the operations. I think if any of you were here when we had the torrential rains of about two, three years ago, the Operations Center, once that gets set up, is really incredible to watch. It is it's a high-tech, incredible communications. If you ever wondered when you're in meetings down there, why are all these stupid bulletin boards and whiteboards along the wall? It's not for our meetings. It's for the Emergency Operations Center, because they have a lot of things going on. Even though it's likely that I'll be calling for the activation of the Emergency Operations Center next week, they have already been planning this for weeks and weeks in terms of what's going to happen. So it's not like one day they wake up and say, oh, gee, we've got to do something. The operation informally is already well underway. There have been a lot of meetings in that respect. So just wanted to let you know that we should anticipate that probably sometime next week. The latest report from the National Weather Service that I saw today, I got an email, or a copy of an email Mr. O'Malley forwarded to me, indicates that with the last 3-4 days worth of non-rain and relatively slow snow melt, they may be able to back off a little bit from the predictions in terms of the amount of flooding that we're going to be expecting. They had been saying this could be the worst or the second worst. They're hoping that our good luck holds and that it's going to actually be somewhat more moderate than that. But wanted to bring the board up to speed in that regard. Anybody have any questions on that? Jeff Schrader.
No questions. Just want to make a couple comments. The town of Campbell, as you'd said, has been very proactive on this, and I'd like to commend Jeff Blusky's office, plus our emergency management people. They've really been cooperative in helping us with what we're trying to get done over there before this thing happens. And the flood level by next Friday, will reach flood stage. There's no doubt about that. And like you said, we're not sure where it's going. And hopefully we can save the infrastructure of French Island. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Anybody else? All right, that's it for my report. Let's go on to Administrator's Report. Mr. O'Malley.
Yes, the first item I have is John Parshall wants to touch on an update on email, County Board email, and how we archive that. John, can you come forward? This is also in preparation for your April policy planning meeting. One of the things that we're going to do as John's coming forward is going to roll out the new County Board website that we've been working on with your help and input. And so in preparation for that, there's a questionnaire we'd like you to be ready for, because we're going to spend some interactive time at that April meeting making sure that everything's up to speed on email and the County Board website as well. John.
Is that better? As I'm talking, you can find that form, and I'll go over that in just a minute. But, yeah, basically I've been asked to do a little bit of housekeeping on email. And as I started looking at it, you know, I think this is a good thing. You guys are using email more and more, and we're moving around electronic content versus printing. So, you know, good job there. But over the time where we first started with email, we've got supervisors in various states. Some are using personal email. Some are using the county email system. Some are using both, and some are using none. So it's getting a little confusing, a little bit hard to manage. During that process, I put together some quick recommendations, and they're only recommendations. We don't have to, you guys don't have to choose to do so. And then I have a form to collect that information. So as Steve stated, I can come back on the 11th, and we can further take it from there and get that information and move forward with either some email refreshing, training, whatever we deem what we get from this quick form we need to fill out. But basically what I wanted to touch on, just as you're trying to make your decision and you think about this, if you use the county email system, there's quite a few advantages that I think you should know about. One I think is very important is it'll give you gives us the ability to save the emails and archive those. So that would help with any type of public records request, any type of action that needs to be taken. If you're using just your personal email accounts, we can't help you, and we can't save your emails. So that's something you need to consider. The second thing is I think you need to look at the security of it. I think the county email systems are much stronger than like a Charter, Yahoo, or a Hotmail, because we're geared on content filtering, geared on spam protection, geared on a lot of things that will help keep you out of trouble. And the third thing is probably encryption. We've got automatic encryption running across the board, so that means nobody can spoof your emails, see your emails. It's a lot more secure than using a Yahoo or a Hotmail.com, even a Charter. If you are emailing back and forth to each other, it's really secure. And it also, if you email to the state of Wisconsin or other agencies, they've got the same encryption that we have in the background, so it automatically just encrypts. You don't even have to do anything. It just automatically turns on and encrypts. So that's a pretty strong case to have it. And you know, maybe lastly, if you're all on the same systems, you can you have all the same features, you got the same distribution lists, access to employee directory listings and things like that, calendars. And I think as you move forward, it'd make life easier for everybody. But again, those are only recommendations. And the good news is we put some provisioning in during this review that will allow us to still start saving email, even if you're using your personal email. And how we did that, because we have the email address in our system, we will route it through a back door of our system, and we'll still save that email, but you're not going to get all those other features I just explained. That will give us some time to make a transition if we choose to, and some additional protection with saving email, but it's not the full answer. Because of that provisioning, though, at minimum, whatever you guys decide to do, we're going to have you occasionally come on to the county email system and just clean up your email. So to speak, we've got housekeeping to do just like we do. So that will be one thing we'll have to do no matter what you guys decide. I guess that kind of takes me to the form. Just to explain it real quickly, just put your name on it. This first section, there's four check boxes. That will just make sure that I understand what your current state is. I think I covered all the areas. If you fit into more one area, check them both. I'll figure it out, or contact you if I don't know. Going down and that beyond the first four check box, there's also, because we haven't used our email systems on the county email systems, I know there's probably many supervisors that don't know their user ID or their password. I need to know that too, so when I come back on the 11th, I can have that ready and taken care of and be ready to discuss that too. And then this middle section is, I just want to really know your preference after I talk to you tonight. You know, do you want to stay as is what you're doing now, or do you want to come aboard on the county email system? That'll mean a lot to me as I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do I approach this in the next steps? And then this last section is, if you choose to, again, this is all optional, I have prepared some training and some email refreshers that we can go through, and right now it's scheduled for three dates. prior to your Monday planning meetings and your normal Thursday board meeting nights. So that way, from 5 to 6, you can come early, and then I'll have some training that I'll provide, and then I'll have a couple staff members with me that can actually address some of your individual needs and questions. And quite honestly, we can log right into your systems because we got all these computers and we can address individual needs. Because I found everybody has a little different situation, so I just couldn't paint the brush and say, okay, here's what we're going to do across the board. But I guess, and then the last thing is comments. If you got some general comments you want me to know or us to know, I guess, or, you know, even if it pertains to the training or anything about email, it'd be a good chance to put it on there. And again, don't worry about filling it out now. I'll come back and collect it on the 11th. I left copies with Jenny if we're short a couple copies, and go from there. And as Steve stated, also on the 11th, we'll be here to unveil our new board profile web pages. So we'll be doing a quick preview of that. So we're ready to roll out now. We're just basically doing the final touch-up, final testing. I think we've emailed a few supervisors on pictures missing and some bios missing, but I think most of you are responding. If we don't get them in the next week, we'll email you again or call you, depending on if you're using email or not. I think that's going pretty good, so we'll be ready to, I don't call it a demo, but I guess a preview of the site on the 11th. So that's all I got.
A couple of things I want to add to that. If you do have a chance to finish this tonight, turn it into Jenny on your way out. No reason to hold on to it and try to remember to bring it back. So just give it to her before you leave tonight. Secondly, and I guess this bears repeating over and over and over, keep in mind that if you are discussing county business, whether it is on your county email or your personal email, that is a public record. If I know that Supervisor X is talking about some county business and I file an open records request, I can actually require, or they could be required to turn over their personal emails that they have received thinking that they were doing it confidentially. So keep in mind, it is not confidential if it has to do with county business. Secondly, very closely related to that, is if you are doing county business, it's best to do it on the county email. If you are doing non-county business, you should not be doing it on the county email. You should be doing it on your personal email, especially if it has some sort of political or, in particular, partisan type of implications to it. It definitely should not be on the county email. So, again, we'll keep reminding people that over and over because that is so important, and we've seen across the state people getting in trouble for that kind of thing, and I'd hate to have that happen here. Does anybody have any questions for John, Mr. Ebert?
Well, actually, to you, you're talking if a constituent emails you on your private, that's a public record or only if it's among other government people?
That is a public record.
So, thank you, sir.
Which is why we encourage people to give the clerk at the beginning of the term your county email address so that if people look it up that they know which one, that so they're sending it to the right one. But it's going to happen, but occasionally you get ones on your personal email, and so people should be keeping that in mind. That's a good question. Bev Mock.
Sometimes I'm on a subcommittee like the W2 Community Steering Committee, and I have the person who takes the minutes send it to me through my personal email. Are minutes considered using your personal email?
We'll let Bill respond to that one.
Well, if a committee is a subunit of the county or some governmental entity, then yes, it would be a public record.
But obviously people would have another way to access that. They would just go to the record keeper for that. They wouldn't have to get the minutes from you.
Yeah.
They could certainly get it from whoever was sending it out.
Yeah, I just
but it is a public record.
Yeah. Because sometimes I have trouble with the attachments on the county. Some of them open up just fine. Sometimes I battle with, and so it's sometimes easier to get them through my regular email.
Sure.
But I've not used it to talk to anybody about county business or anything.
Okay.
But I would still check that I use my personal email, correct?
You should check both.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll note that, or you can note that on your
on
your thing that attachments is something you guys are interested in reviewing.
Audrey Cotter.
When I get a city or county related email on my personal, I just immediately forward it to my city email address, which is the one I use. Does that protect me from being, I don't answer it or anything on my personal one?
I think Bill has said before that either Bill or John, one of the two, has said that that's what you've recommended. And I think, John, you had said that when anything goes through your computer, it's automatically saved. It's so that we don't have to have individual board members go digging through their records. IT already will have that. Am I correct?
That is correct. And then we added an additional provisioning in that if you guys report an email system to Jenny, and that's what we put on our system, and it's not a county email address, and that's not what we're recommending, we will route that to the front end of our email system now, and we will still save it. So when Steve was saying your personal email and your non-personal email, don't let that email, don't think that email's personal now that you just gave to Jenny. That one is really routing through the front end of our system, and we are capturing that. But it still doesn't have all the security features that I covered earlier. So if you got a personal email that she has that's on our website, that's really not personal. It's actually touching our front end, and we are taking a record of that email.
Okay. Ralph Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the training session, you listed Thursday, April 19th. Thursday is April 21st. Is it the 19th on a Tuesday, or is it the 21st on a Thursday?
It'd be county board night. Oh, wait, no, okay. That is Tuesday, because in April, glad you caught that. Keep in mind, in April, things are different. April and November are different instead of the third
so
Thursday.
So Tuesday, April 19th.
Tuesday, April 19th, okay. Yes. So, and we'll try to remind you as we get closer to that you don't show up on the wrong day. Any other questions? All right. John, thank you very much. All right, next item, Mr. O'Malley. I don't think that mic's on.
I'm going to bring you up to date on a few things. You already had in your packet from the previous presentation a lot of the financial information that we're going to now update for you because it's moved from a question mark of when the budget repair bill would be effective to it looks like it's about to be effective. So we've updated that, and Gary will go over the analysis that he and the finance department have done.
Steve, let me just interrupt you for a moment. What I'm going to do when Steve is done and then Gary gives his talk is to ask to have the rule suspended to go into the resolution related to the union contracts because these are all somewhat integrated together. So we do that as a whole package. So just so people are aware of that, I'll be calling on Tara Johnson when we get done with the reports from the staff. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, so over the last 37 days, which is when the proposal first came out and then was finally enacted just last week, we've been adapting to what are the changes. Originally, it was just a proposal. It hadn't been adopted yet. But now that there's some certainty, subject to some litigation and that type of thing, but there's certainty that the law has passed, the legislature has adopted it, we know what the requirements are, and I believe we need to take steps to move towards implementing the items that are actually in there. And we're going to talk about comparing our current path, which is what we've been doing with what's been adopted, and we will, as I've said a number of times, show you that we're not spending one dime more with our practice than we will under the change that's going on. In fact, we'll actually save more in 2011, and we'll continue to move forward with implementing exactly what the budget repair bill requires for us to do on compensation and on pensions, and that's what we're going to be talking about, which results in a 3.8% decrease in employees' pay in 2012. So I just want to give you a little bit of idea of the direction we're going and some of the items I want to show you. So if but just to put it all in context, again, the intro slide, and you've had this before, but it's repeated in the handout, is that what we know so far about the state budget, and it's a 1,400-page document, is that most of the cuts are actually pushed to 2012, about $1.4 million. It still continues to shift costs to counties without taking on any new responsibility from the state, but previous governors have been doing that for many years. The impact to clients and community will be significant, and it caps property taxes at 0% for operating levy plus new construction. We've never spent a lot of time talking about new construction because we've always just zeroed in on the levy itself, but the governor's budget repair bill and proposal recognizes that new construction is actually offsetting taxes. It's new customers, if you will, paying for a part of the actual taxes, and we'll show you that in a moment when we get to that. But make no mistake, the last 2 years have been a 0% operating levy increase by the county in 2010 and 2011. The only increase at all in county property taxes for the county portion has been for debt service for the new law enforcement center. And the data that we'll show you again that we talked about last meeting was that the effective levy change over the past 6 years, when you take out new construction and including debt, is still only 1.8% over the last 6 years. In addition to that, we haven't been levying to the max for many years in a row. If you refer to page 6 of the budget summary document that each of you have received, we were 3.6 or 0.06 million under the existing levy limit and 1.06 million under the rate limit. Again, it keeps emphasizing that we haven't used every tool that we were given before and spent up to a higher amount when we would have been able to. Most of the cuts, as I said, are in calendar year 2012. The latest information from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau adjusts that shared revenue cut. In fact, it should have said 22%. It's $1.6 million instead of the $1.085 million that I had talked about before. General transportation aids, there seems to be a difference between the Legislative Fiscal Bureau and the example that I'll show from the governor's office is saying we will lose $152,000. Child support continues to be an ongoing issue because it loses more federal revenue than the state budget cut, but we're working on that. Youth aids, you heard a reference to that earlier, is $146,000. But again, we expect that to be split over the biennium, so part in the balance of 2011, part of it in the start of 2012. We see a slight increase in BCA, but that's going to be taken back in the income maintenance takeover. In other words, net, it's still about $1.4 million. The numbers are moving as we're watching the legislature deal with it. Most of the complex impacts are in administrative rules and not specifically spelled out in human services and Medicaid. There doesn't seem to be any cuts to nursing homes at this point, with the exception that the clients that qualify for the care may not qualify for Medicaid under the standards that are being redone. There's no new cost to solid waste, as we can see, but they're eliminating the recycling mandate, and there will be major client impacts in 2011. Just the last 2 days, the governor's office has released an analysis that's estimated the savings versus aid cuts, and administrators and execs are starting to have press releases. This is the first time I've said publicly what's going on, but they overstate any amount of savings, and I haven't found a exec or administrator that agrees with the numbers statewide, and that's people of all political persuasions. Some elected execs, you know which party they're involved in. But the aid reduction is projected a little bit differently than what Legislative Fiscal Bureau indicates. It's $1.2 million as opposed to the $1.4 that LFB said. The savings that they indicate, and this is the thing I really want to zero in on because people keep talking about this, they talk about a WRS savings of $2.5 million and health insurance. I'm going to have Gary talk more about the WRS and reconciling that number, but the one that's kind of a troublesome one for me is in health insurance. The document projects $1.8 million savings in health insurance, and if you notice, what they talk about with health insurance is they've just taken a number of saying, oh, it's equivalent to 4.2% of payroll. I don't know where they got that number, but the fact is that, as I've said a number of times, the health insurance mandate of going to 88% employer cap is only on those in the state plan. If you're in the state plan, you have to pay 88%, no more than that, and you have to bargain that with your bargaining units. We're not in the state plan. We're our own self-insured plan, and in fact, our employees already support more of the costs than that. Now, the premium split, as you see in the lower box, is 90% 10 versus 88-12 under the state plan. But the state plan, we couldn't afford to do. It's a zero deductible, no coinsurance. There aren't any co-pays. Our plan has 100, 300 deductible, 80-20 co-insurance, 70-30 if you're out of network, special co-pays if you go to the emergency room. We do collective buying with all types of things, with prescription drugs. Our employees work with us to control costs. Just give you a background on history, and this is important for board members to know. The last 3 years, our premiums have gone up 5%, 1%, and 0%. That's because our employees are engaged with us in wellness programs, in health risk assessments. We've been doing everything. We've been focused on controlling costs, not debating who pays what share of premium. But the point is that the governor's office is projecting that we individually, La Crosse County, would save by this new mandate that we're not mandated to do, $1.8 million. In other words, we would have to move to a copay in premium alone of over 23% by employees to be able to come up with that number in addition to what we already require. So they've overstated the health insurance savings, and again, the WRS savings that keeps getting thrown around doesn't consider that all of that savings that is now shifted to employees under the budget repair bill is not levy savings. You can't take the pension contributions by Hillview employees, for example, and use that to offset shared revenue, because remember, Hillview is not on the tax levy. You can't take solid waste pension contributions from those employees and use that to offset shared revenue cuts, because again, that's an enterprise fund, that all those funds stay there. We'll still go ahead, obviously we have to implement the law, but it's important to understand that the pension savings are overstated because you can't automatically transfer that to the general fund when an employee that is not paid for by general fund dollars pays into the pension. So it's overstated substantially. So let's go back to what the goal is that we've been told of the budget repair bill and understand what we believe we've been told, is that the budget repair bill and the budget is supposed to be that local government needs tools to control and meet the 0% tax levy increase, excluding debt, plus new construction. And the tools, as described, as I understand it from what's been passed, is that employees will pay 50% of WRS, about 5.8% pay cut. That doesn't include protective service. They're allowed to still bargain on that, and we'll talk about that when we get to that point later. Wage increases are capped at CPI, which over the last 6 years have been running a little bit over 2%. Currently, it's 2% for the Midwest Urban. It could go up or down, but it's tied to an index. Again, the employees are to pay up to 12% of health insurance if in the state plan. We couldn't afford to go to the state plan. I want to repeat that, because if we went to the state plan, it would cost us 8% more than our current plan. In fact, we've done a comparison with all the other counties that we compare when we go to, when we compare for arbitration. Our plan is 8% less than them as well. Our employees are working and engaged to control health insurance costs. That saves taxpayers money, that saves us money, it saves them money as well in the long term. What the budget repair bill does also is transfer near unilateral authority to the employer on all issues except discipline. We would have to develop a new civil service process for discipline, and the only issue that's actually allowed to be bargained on other than protective service is wages. So we may not withhold union dues, we may not, they have to do a union recertification each year, and every other term and condition of employment other than wages is up in the air. It's got to be subject to a policy or a board resolution or an ordinance. So 40 years basically of bargaining history and seven labor contracts that you'll consider this evening would all have to be incorporated in new policy. This is going to be a daunting task across the state, and is really going to put a lot of challenge in labor relations, in work practices, and is not something that you contemplate in a short period of 37 days. But let's review how we've done in 2011 and beyond, and talk about how our current practice, our 2011 budget, compares with the budget repair bill, as well as how this resolution that we'll be talking about later with continuing the labor contracts compares with the budget repair bill going forward. Because again, we believe that what we're doing will not cost one dime more than the budget repair bill. In fact, we believe in 2011 it will actually save more, and moving into 2012, we comply with the financial parts of the governor's budget repair bill, which is the cap on wage increases at CPI and the requirement that employees pay 5.8% of pension. So it's a net decrease in pay of 3.8%. I'm going to ask Gary to go over and show the levy background as well as the financial data on the comparisons.
Okay, the first three slides that I'm going to go through are not on your sheet of paper that was just passed out, but Steve did review these with you at the March planning meeting. And again, just to recap, the proposal under Governor Walker is for a 0% property tax increase. However, new construction is exempt, and this gives you an idea of what the new construction has increased over the last 10 years. This next slide shows you the percent share of the new construction increase in regard to the levy increase. Levy history shows that the new tax base supported 43% of the increases over the last 10 years. This next slide shows the impact to the existing taxpayers due to the new tax base. It's over the last 6 years, the levy increase has only averaged 1.8%, which we feel is a pretty darn good job. Okay, this slide is also on your handout. As Steve said, we believe that the budget that was prepared by La Crosse County for 2011 does not cost one more dime. In fact, we feel it's cheaper than what the budget repair bill proposes. The 2011 budget was budgeted at 0% for wages, a 0% increase for health and dental, due in part to the attributes, the advantages that Steve has already said about the La Crosse County plan. The current budget for 2011 that you approved last November did show county paying the employee share. The county for the last couple years, the employees have been really great about volunteering unpaid time off. We have not had to have mandatory furloughs as many other entities have had. The employees have stepped up to the plate. We've been very, very appreciative of that. We also typically have attrition in regard to refilling positions that people either retire from or they leave and go to another employer. We've been practicing that for many, many years and probably saves us at least $250,000. That's a conservative number, $250,000 savings every year from that. In the 2011 budget, we eliminated 4.1 FTEs for cost savings, and we also factored in some state program cuts. All of this was 100% levy savings. Under the governor's proposal, we would be allowed a CPI increase of approximately 2%. Health premiums going to 12%. Again, Steve has really elaborated on this. Our plan is already costing a lot less than what the state plan would be. He is proposing, or has proposed in the bill, 50% WRS contribution for the remaining 9 months of 2011 for the employee share. And then it's probably unlikely that people are going to follow through and carry through with what they volunteered for unpaid time off. It's kind of hard to expect them to, even though we certainly welcome that if they so choose, it is kind of difficult to expect employees when they're getting a 4.8% pay cut or pay reduction to continue that voluntary contribution. This lays it out in numbers. If you can't read what's up there, you do have it in your sheet in front of you. It lays out in numbers what I just verbally stated. If you want to look at the key numbers there, in regard to the bargaining units, the county's 2011 budget as presented and as approved by you folks is a $405,000 savings compared to the budget repair bill. Had we been able to, well, we would have been able to grant salary increases under the budget repair bill. We did not do that. We got agreements from the unions for 0% increase there. So anyway, the budget repair bill savings is over only $220,000 for the bargaining units compared to the $405,000 savings that the county's budget has in it. In regard to non-bargaining at the present time, we feel the county's option is $525 of savings compared to the Governor Walker's savings of $339,000. And then if I move on to proposed 2012 for all bargaining units. As I think you've been informed, the employees would agree to pick up the employee share of WRS for 2012 and 13. So the net levy savings for the bargaining units would be about $489,000. and then the net levy savings for the non-bargaining would be about $291,000 for an estimated levy savings of $781,000 or $784,000. As Steve said, you know, it's really hard to go along with the governor's numbers, and I've seen it not only with local government, counties, cities, but the school districts. I know have been questioning the governor's numbers also. Would have really been nice if we would have had more time to review the proposals and get into the fine detail and the numbers, because it's really made it quite difficult adapt or to put our pencils to the paper with the shotgun approach that he's been using. So that's my part of the presentation. You want to introduce the resolution next, or?
First of all, we'll need a motion to suspend the rules to move this up to this point. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I ask unanimous consent to suspend the rules and move agenda item 319, which was an addendum to our agenda for this evening, to this point in the agenda, please.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, go ahead, Ms. Johnson.
Item 3-19. To the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding adoption of 2011 through 2013 collective bargaining agreements for the following unions: AFSCME Local 2484, professional, paraprofessional, and clerical; Lakeview employees, highway and parks employees; jailers; WPPA telecommunicators; SEIU Local 150 at Hillview. Whereas La Crosse County has concluded collective bargaining negotiations and reached tentative agreements with those units for covering the years 2011, 2012, and 2013, but does not include agreements with WPPA sheriff's deputies for 2012 and 2013. And whereas the agreements include a wage freeze for 2011, annual raises for 2012 and 13, and retirement contributions to begin in 2012, while no change is made in share of health insurance premiums because La Crosse County's self-insured plan has good claims experience over the past 3 years with a 0% change in premiums for 2011, representing in total an 8% cost savings over the state plan and the average of similar-sized counties. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the tentative agreements of the parties, summaries of which are attached, for contract changes for years 2011, 2012, and 13, including across-the-board wage freezes for 2011, 2% wage increases each year for 2012 and 2013, effective January 1, 2012, the bargaining units listed above would be required to pay 50% of all actuarially required WRS contributions, health and dental insurance premium share of 90% employer paid and 10% employee paid, subject to any increase or decrease in premium requirements for 2012 and 13, and all other terms and conditions in the contracts are to continue. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair, County Administrator, and Personnel Director are authorized to sign the collective bargaining agreements upon approval of the Corporation Council, and that the Personnel and Finance Departments are authorized to take such actions as necessary to put the agreement into effect. The fiscal note is that the net impact is a 0.6% for WRS, or approximately $174,500 for all units for 2011 as budgeted. For 2012 and 13, each year estimated impact is $666,592 raise minus $1,628,237 WRS contribution for a gross savings of $961,645, which is about a 45% equal levy savings of $432,740. The number of employees in the units are approximately 121 in the professional unit, 246 in the paraprofessional and clerical, 207 at Lakeview, 59 at Highway and Parks, 53 for the jailers, 23 for WPPA telecommunicators, and 140 at Hillview. I move its approval and would note that it was unanimously approved in executive committee prior to this meeting.
Moved by Chair Johnson, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Bob, are you up next?
Before I start, I'd like to introduce Mary Speltz, who is the president of Local 2484, the AFSCME unit that represents our downtown professional and paraprofessional employees.
Good evening. We La Crosse County employees come here not under the cloak of darkness, but rather in the light of day to show our appreciation to our county administration and our La Crosse County board members. La Crosse County Board, the administration, and its employees continue to work together to be a leader in areas of providing wonderful services to our consumers in La Crosse County, to working with collaboration with each other, and for fiscal responsibility. We appreciate your the support that you have shown us by continuing our collective bargaining rights through 2011. Tonight, we can continue to work together, and we ask that you endorse the extension of our contract through 2013. Again, we are here to show you our support, to thank you, and to state we know in La Crosse County that government works. Thank you.
So if I can briefly summarize the resolution that you have in front of you, we've gone over it several times. It's a three-year contract, 0% increase for 2011, and the WRS share is still paid by the county. But then in 2012, there's a 2% increase in wage, but a 5.8% contributed by employees to the retirement fund. So you do the math, it's a 3.8% decrease in pay. It modifies the effect of the WRS contribution for employees a little bit. And then in 2013, again, a 2% increase. We think this is a marvelous package for the county, whether or not the budget repair bill stays or goes. We couldn't bring you a much better package than this. And it settles our contracts for the 3 years coming out. The employees are willing to contribute to the retirement fund. This achieves the result of the budget repair bill that was passed. And there's going to be a lot of uncertainty about civil service rules and a lot of other things in the contract. This enables us to have continued contracts for the next 3 years while the rest of the state is the guinea pigs to figure this all out. Now, these contracts are all pretty complex. You know, there's rules about scheduling, hours of work, layoffs, pay plan rules, shift rules, codes of conduct, procedures for handling funeral leave, family leave, medical leave, jury duty. If we totally wipe out these contracts, we still need to have rules for these things for county employees. Well, while the rest of the state is trying to figure out how to put this together into some sort of new civil service system, which is, it's unknown how that exactly is supposed to work, we will have the contracts that have been in effect basically since 1971. So I'll stop there, and if there are any questions.
Questions for Bob. Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. Does that mean at the end of 3 years, then, everyone that's represented by this will automatically be in the new civil service regulations, or will they bargain for that also?
No, at the end of the 3 years, we're done, and we have to do something new. But hopefully we have a better idea of what that is that we're going to do through the state being more clear about what they're requiring, other counties and municipalities going through the legal process to clarify this. The Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission is undergoing turmoil. We don't know what's going to be left there. Hopefully, in the next 3 years, some of that or all of that will be settled, and then we'll be ready to move on to 2014 and 15. Whatever happens, we don't know beyond that.
Other questions for Bob? Margaret Wood.
Thank you. In the resolution, in the now therefore be it resolved, the third bullet point, when it talks about 90-10 share subject to increase or decrease in premium requirements, does that requirement continue on the percentage basis, or does it flip to a monetary amount if there is a decrease or increase?
No, it's a 90-10 share with the employees paying 10%. But when we go out for proposals, and every year we do an exhaustive search to find the least costly health insurance, whatever that premium is, the employees will pay 10% of the premium. If it goes up, it's going to be a higher dollar figure. If it goes down, it'll be a lower dollar figure. So far, we haven't made it go down, but we've kept it even.
So then by saying subject to increase or decrease, that means the percentage stays the same, but the dollar amount may fluctuate.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Other questions for Bob? Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One question on the CPI. I've noticed Social Security has got zero the last 2 years. Is it a different CPI, or why would that be 2% when my good friend Mr. Kyle says he's got zero the last 2 years?
Yeah, it's curious. The budget repair bill does not use the same formula as Social Security. You'd think that maybe it would. We're not sure what formula they're using. We're not sure when in time they're determining CPI. We're not sure what index they're using. There's a lot of uncertainty, and so we don't know.
Okay. Also, I took a course from UW this last year, and according to, I believe, Dr. Hyman, I hate to put words in his mouth, but I took it, but Wisconsin has civil service protection law, you know, before the bargaining, that would still be in effect. And I assume that's right, because I asked Mr. Shepard about a whistleblower ordinance to protect county employees, and he said that was already incorporated in Wisconsin law. So I assume there must be some civil service protection already in Wisconsin law?
There's not nothing out there, but it's smattered all over the place. You have whistleblower over here. You have state employee disciplinary rules. We have a scrambled mess that somebody's going to have to figure out. And what we really don't know is what is required absolutely by the budget repair bill.
Okay, and then you're talking about guinea pigs. I thought La Crosse was the leaders, and we were always out front of everything. And why aren't we the leaders in doing this?
We are. In this case, we've done better on the wage. We've done better on the insurance. We've done better on putting this package together. We're way ahead of the state, but we're not going to be used by somebody else as a guinea pig for experimentation on these type of things.
And one last question. You talk about in the fiscal note 45% equals levy savings of $432,000. And yet in one of the slides you talked about the levy savings for La Crosse County was at 100%. And I don't understand
Gary will answer that one.
I thought you were going to ask a little different question, but
I'm not sure which one you thought. But
Well, I do want to clarify one thing. On one of the slides, it showed that the levy savings would be about $490,000, whereas the resolution says $432,000. That difference is we were hoping and we were assuming that we would have gotten an agreement from the deputies, but we didn't get that. If we would have gotten that agreement from the deputies, that would have increased the levy savings.
Yeah, but now go back to why one of your slides up here talked about the governor's savings was 45%, but the county levy savings was 100%, and yet down here you talk about the levy savings of 45%.
Well, again, keep in mind that the governor is saying that the county will save $2.5 million, for example, for for the total county WRS savings. That's not true, because that's not true for the enterprise funds and a couple like highway fund, for example. I mean, the savings just aren't there.
I understand, but why did you? Can you go back? What is it? Two or three slides?
There it is.
Yeah. Okay. Here, the RBG, it's 100% levy savings. The budget repair bill, 45% levy savings. However, in your fiscal note, you talk about 45% levy savings.
Well, keep in mind that the 2011 budget strategy is exactly what is in the 2011 budget. I mean, that's what's in the budget. And for example, the CPI wages under the governor's proposal, we could have increased wages by 2%. Well, we didn't. We got the unions to agree to 0%.
And I'm still not getting why this says 45% and that one, or is that for 2011 only?
Right.
This is so that for 2012 and 2013, our savings is 45% of levy. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bill Brockmiller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to note. I thought some would be interested. BLS just released the CPI for the Midwest.
And you'll translate BLS for us, right, Bill?
The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. They released the Midwest CPI index for, and in the most recent 12 months, it ran 2.2%. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Other questions for Bob while we have Bob up here? Or questions for Gary, I guess, too. All right. Let's shift over then to discussion. Any comments? Ralph Geary.
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a few questions since, like most of us, we got this yesterday and we're frantically reading it and writing down our questions. Now, on the February 17th meeting, we approved the contract for Hillview, and the February 21st meeting, we approved a contract with all the other unions, I guess, except the deputies now. Oh, that included them, okay. But after the 21st, I thought you said that was going to give us the time we needed to adjust or get the final numbers or whatever it was. I didn't know that, maybe I was the only one, but I didn't know the contract even reopened. At the planning meeting, we didn't get informed or set any parameters, or I didn't know anything about it until I got it yesterday. What happened in between the 21st and today?
The budget was passed, or the budget was introduced.
At the state level?
Right.
Okay, yeah, but, I mean, then did Bob call up the unions and said, do you think it would be beneficial for all of us to extend the contracts, or how did that work out? Okay, but that happened after last Monday? Last Friday it happened? Okay, it happened after our planning meeting.
Right.
That's why we weren't. Okay, I was wondering why we didn't get informed then.
No,
this has been happening really fast. I'm trying to read it as fast as you're going through it.
No, we would certainly have informed the board if that had happened at that point.
Oh, okay. Okay, now I got that one. And then I was reading about the insurance here for 2012 and 2013. The county will be paying the 90%. And Gunderson or St. Francis, they'll set the rates, right? Do they set the rates for the single and the family?
Gary will answer that
okay,
one.
Okay, as Bob said, every year, finance personnel and administrator gets together with the agent. The agent goes out and gets numbers from Gunderson. They get numbers from St. Francis. They also get numbers from the reinsurance carrier. So, but again, a lot of the information that we use to make a decision on whether or not we're going to increase or whatever. We have to have a certain amount of months of experience with claims before we can project what we're going to do for the next year.
Oh, okay. Well, my question, I think, is the 90% that we pay, if the rates would go up, are we putting that on the levy, or are we going to take that? or do we have surpluses in our self-insurance fund we plan on taking it out of? Or
that either one. I mean, again, that's something that's decided at budget time. The county administrator would make a recommendation, and it's up to the county board how we would proceed in that regard.
Okay, and then we usually give the non-bargainings the same percent
yes.
as the
yes.
bargaining.
Yes.
How are we handling that? I thought we're... Did you say in there we're going to get some information in here, or is that coming later? Or?
Well, that'll come back to you regarding 2011 on non-union, and 2012 and 13 are obviously in the future. You would make that decision during those budget
okay.
deliberations.
But historically, we usually give them about the same.
Historically, yeah, that's practice,
yes.
right?
Okay, it's past practice or something. Okay. Here's an important one. How much aid are we losing in 2012 and 2013 on the various? I thought you said one of the slides said $1.4 million for 2012. Was that approximately right?
That's the best estimate. If you look at the second and third slide, I give you more detail there. Again, the numbers have changed slightly depending upon which source, but until okay. the budget bill, not the budget repair bill, but the full budget passes,
okay.
we won't know. But it's in the neighborhood of $1.4 million. Virtually all of that except youth aids that I can tell right now is in calendar year 2012.
Is that $1.4 million for both years, for 2012 and another $1.4
No, it would be eliminated from the base, and that would be the new base.
Oh, that would be the new base.
Right.
So once we take the $1.4 million, then we're back to whatever that is.
Right, and that would be the continual base, though.
Okay.
Is my understanding.
Oh, okay. I'm sure, you know, it's happening quickly, and you're trying to get us information, and we're trying to absorb it. Well, on that $1.4 million, if the, if the expenses in 2012 are $1.4 million because of that hit, $1.4 million more than we were would maybe in a normal situation we'd be paying, what's our revenue offset here?
That there isn't any. We have to come up with budget cuts to make this work.
Well, I thought you said WIRS, part of it was in the enterprise funds that you couldn't use, but what about the other part?
Well, the resolution before you shows that for the bargaining units, about $432,000 will help to offset a portion of that 1.4. Then we still have to deal with, there will be similar savings, but not to the same extent with non-union if that was the same basis you set it for in 2012. There are other budget cuts that we'll have to come up with because, again, the savings that the governor has indicated don't equal being able to stay within a 0% levy. But those are just the challenges we have to put together a budget.
So the number we're looking at is $800,000-$900,000 or somewhere in there?
Gary, we put the non-union number together as well. The non-union would be an additional $294,000. That's in the last slide of your handout.
Okay.
So in essence, as best we can determine right now, still early in the process, if every employee, bargaining and otherwise, are settled on the same basis for 2012, that would be $784,000 estimated in levy savings versus about a $1.4 million cut in aid.
So we're looking at $600,000-$700,000.
Right. We've got a challenge.
Before any other increases in the budget in other areas.
Other increases in the budget aren't going to be allowed under a 0% increase.
Well, I mean, utilities is something we might not control some of this stuff.
Everything
but,
else is going to have to make up the difference.
Well, I don't know how to put this in. It looks like if we pass a resolution, we're going to have, well, to meet this, the way you were talking kind of vaguely, are we going to have to eliminate jobs or programs, or what are we going to do? Or what are you anticipating?
Ralph, this will be the ninth budget that I've done with you, and I'd urge you to have some understanding that I bring you back detailed policy decisions that minimize the impact on position layoffs, and we come up with creative solutions to make this work. And we've done it 2 years in a row with the 0% levy. The governor set that challenge for us for the next 2 years. I'm confident we'll do that again. It's law, it's what we have to do, and we'll bring you choices. Some of them won't be easy, but we're going to minimize the impact on services to the community and try to preserve positions providing those services.
Okay. The surplus funds, or I hate to get into a lot of details, but I'm a little confused here. It looks like we're going to have either more people or less people working, making a little more, or can we have more people working making a little less?
It can include any number of things, but the again, I'd ask you to look at the record of what we've brought you in budgets. We've preserved services and done back-to-back zeros. I haven't started work on the 2012 budget. I've got a administration that's changing assumptions in mid-budget right now. I'm just trying to make sure 2011 works. Trust me, I'll work on 2012 if I can make it through 2011.
Okay. And one other thing, I don't know who can ask. On that CPI thing, is that a fixed amount or is that a maximum amount that we can set up to? Or what is that?
No, the contract sets it at that amount rather than being watching an index. Sometimes CPI has been higher. In fact, prior to the recession, the CPI was actually running in excess of this. So we felt it was best to set the dollar amount.
No, I was looking at the governor's thing. He said you could set it at the CPI or something. Mm-hmm. Is that a maximum, or is that just if you just go there and that's it?
That's correct. It's a maximum.
That's a maximum. Okay, thanks.
Other discussion? John Menninger.
Yeah, I think people know I grew up in a union family. My dad was United Auto Workers at Al Chambers here in La Crosse, and I've always been a big fan of unions and what they do for people and achieving a middle-class lifestyle, even though it wasn't very easy back in the 50s and the 60s. Tonight, discussion has almost all been about money. Which is important, and that's certainly something that's involved here, but really the discussion should be about collective bargaining and the right that people have. And it's almost an inherent right. It's not one that government can give you or take away from you. It's almost an inherent right that people have to join together to collectively bargain. And there's certainly some religious scholars that would subscribe to that theory. But I think the most important thing here tonight is that not only are we reaffirming collective bargaining, but we are having it in a dialogue between management and labor and not just trying to impose it on people. This has came about because of discussions that don't take place in Madison but are taking place in La Crosse County. And it's about treating people with respect that work hard day in and day out, and it's about dignity. And I hope that we pass this almost tonight, almost unanimously.
Don Bina.
I thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, would have a few comments. You know, we're going to change the world drastically when this happens. I sat on any amount of negotiating teams over my lifetime, I think for the county here, 12 or 14 years, something like that. And we didn't always have what we have today. In the past, when we sat there and we argued about this or that, and we put a package of things together, and not all counties pay 100% of the insurance. One of the items we negotiated over the years gone by was bringing it down to 95 for a few years, and then we came down to 90%, but we compensated with wages for that. And we did this with the same thing with the school board in West Salem for 12 years I negotiated there. The world is going to be changing considerably if we don't have anything to negotiate except for wages. And I'm just wondering where we're going and how we're going to get there and how soon changes will happen after we go wherever we're going.
Tina Weirs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for not knowing this ahead of time, but I'm just wondering the history on adopting multi-year contracts. Have we done that quite a bit in the past? It's not a new phenomenon because, like Mr. O'Malley just touched on, you're having a hard time knowing what's going to happen in 2011. So that's why I just cringe at the fact that 2012, 2013, we have no idea. I mean, really, what's going to happen, and that's what makes me a little bit nervous. So thank you.
Well, Bob can respond answer to our last time we did a three-year contract.
We have been very creative over the years. We've had one-year contracts, mostly two-year contracts, but we've also had a number of three-year contracts. In fact, the last highway contract before 2011 was a three-year. So, and we found that to be very useful to have a three-year contract.
Monica Cruz.
I'd like to say that Wisconsin has become a very scary place in the last month, and America is becoming a very scary place. And I think if we can buy ourselves some normalcy for the next couple of years by agreeing to a contract that actually saves us money and preserves the good working relationship that we have with our employees, I think it's a win-win-win situation. I certainly would support it.
Bill Feehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I received a letter from Supervisor Jim Burns, and he asked if it might be permitted for me to read his letter into the record.
Certainly.
And I'd like to reserve the floor for my own comments after reading his letter. Fellow county supervisors, unfortunately, due to a prior commitment, I am out of town and unable to attend tonight's meeting. However, I feel it is my responsibility as a county board supervisor to weigh in on the issue involving the proposed union contract agreements for 2012 and 2013. First, I would like to express my frustration with the short time frame that we were notified of these proposals. The correspondence dated March 15, 2011 from Mr. O'Malley provides both supervisors and our constituents with very little time to analyze and provide input to these rather significant policy changes. Regarding the collective bargaining resolution, I have serious reservations with the initial proposal presented in Mr. O'Malley's memo dated March 15th. I understand and appreciate the goal of trying to preserve collective bargaining rights in the light of the current budget repair bill and to allow for a better transition for our employees. However, I cannot support the policy of guaranteeing 2% wage increases for 2012 and 2013. Mr. O'Malley speaks about the risks and uncertainty with the elimination of collective bargaining rights. However, nowhere presented in his analysis deals with the risks and uncertainty of our national economy or the fact that the federal and state governments are experiencing the most challenging budget deficits in recent history. We all understand the obvious. Federal and state governments need to significantly reduce their expenditures. These budget reductions will no doubt result in fewer intergovernmental revenues for La Crosse County. So why would we want to bind ourselves to 2% wage increases 2 years into the future when there is so much uncertainty surrounding our national economy and how federal and state governments will resolve their budget deficits? I would suggest that we approve collective bargaining agreements for 2012 and 2013, but budget a 0% increase in wages. This will allow us the opportunity to keep all options available in balancing future budgets. I see no compelling reason to guarantee 2% wage increases now when we can modify or amend these contracts at any time. I believe anything else is simply unreasonable and fiscally irresponsible. We can always reevaluate economic and budget conditions and modify wages at a later date. Thanks for allowing my views to be heard and for your consideration amending this resolution that reflects a more reasonable approach towards future budgets. That's right. So I'd like to address the savings, the revenue savings for our county government from the budget repair bill. And if we look at the supervisor's previous, I think it's the previous or next slide. Can we bring that up? The other way. There we go. So we'll see that at the top we have, it says budget repair bill 5.8%, and that's $1,344,000. I believe that's for the collectively bargained units. And then down below is the non-bargained units, and we have a number, the 5.8% is 800,000. So that looks to me like that's 2.1 million. That is significant savings to the county for us to address revenue shortfalls in other areas. My first comment is, why the rush? The first time that the supervisor saw this was yesterday. It came in my mail. I got that about 5 o'clock. And I think it's important for the public to understand that although the budget repair bill has been passed, the Democrat Secretary of State, La Follette, is refusing to publish the bill so that it becomes law. Whatever. So the
go ahead, Mr. Ebert, or Mr. Feehan. Sorry, not you.
I'm happy for that association. In effect, this will neutralize the budget repair bill for 3 years, with the exception of the 5.8 contribution, which has already been foregone in the previous contract that we approved. The rationale that we were presented was that that gave us 9 months to adjust to the new civil service rules. And so that is, I'm going to do the rough math on a $50 million payroll. 5.8% works out to about $2.175 million over that nine-month period of time. While a 2% increase in wages for 2012 and 13 sounds reasonable, this is a $1 million increase in the county tax levy each year. This $1 million is a 3.3% increase in the property tax levy. Under normal economic conditions, 2% raises would be reasonable, but these aren't normal economic times. There's a lot of economic uncertainty right now. We don't know how many people will still be unemployed or underemployed 2 or 3 years from now. Will tax revenues rise, stay the same, or fall? It's impossible to know and irresponsible to obligate county taxpayers for 3 years into the future just to protect our government unions. While the budget repair bill allows pay raises up to the CPI, and I would point out here that it allows them up to the CPI, it does not mandate that we have to give the CPI. Will wages for private sector workers be up, down, or flat? Just because there is inflation does not mean workers will get raises. When a reasonable pay increase of 2% results in a 3.3% increase in the tax levy, it tells us that our government payroll has grown too big. We have two options. We can cut jobs, or we can reduce wages and benefits. We just can't simply continue raising people's property taxes. We must restore a balance between our government and our taxpayers. Ultimately, I'm thinking of the people I spoke to about this time last year during my campaign for this county board seat. They told me that they needed a break on their taxes and we needed to slow down spending. I'm thinking about the man who just lost his job and was going into the house to tell his wife. I'm thinking about the man who lost a good-paying job making $55,000 a year and was delivering pizzas for $8 an hour. I'm thinking about the 77-year-old man who still lives in the house he was born in, who told me his property tax bill payment is now higher than his house payment used to be, and that his Social Security payments hadn't increased. I'm thinking of a woman on disability who has had no increase in payments now for the last 2 years. Passing these contracts, you tell these people that they will face a minimum 3.3% property tax increase so government unions can get a raise.
Mr. Feehan, I'm going to interject right now on a point of order. You have now three times made a dishonest statement, and I'm not going to let that continue.
What dishonest statement is that?
You know that...
I take exception to the fact
Mr.
that
Feehan,
it's dishonest.
Let me continue.
What's dishonest?
You have stated that it will be a 3.3% increase, and you know that the law says that there will be a zero increase for the next 2 years. There's been a lot of discussion about that.
I'll grant your point that there's a 0% increase. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we're, as Mr. Ebert or Mr. Geary tried to establish, that we're going to be placed in the position of choosing to eliminate these people's jobs? Or does it mean that we're going to dip into our reserves? I think the public deserves to know that there's an adverse impact. And the larger point I'm trying to make here is that there has to be some kind of consideration for the people I just talked about. And if I may conclude my statements, I'm not against the county workers. In fact, I'm working with Jason Witt to set up a meeting with 26 income maintenance workers in Dan Kapanke to see if we can get an amendment that stops their 26 jobs from being outsourced.
That's not your job.
Ah. No, no, no. Sharon. Let him continue.
From 1999 through 2008, our county tax levy grew 7.25% per year. That's about three times the rate of inflation. The 2011 budget raised property taxes about 2%, but we raised fees the equivalent of another 3%. That's about a 5% increase in spending. We simply cannot spend at these levels any longer. Homeowners can't afford it. The evidence, the property tax delinquencies were up 25% in 2009. I haven't seen the 2010 numbers. If there's only one thing you remember from what I've said, remember this. It's time to restore fairness and balance between our county government and taxpayers. Thank you.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The things I like about this, and I will be voting for it, is that it does bring a sense of stability in the midst of chaos. There are many unknowns that were discussed at the Wisconsin Counties Association meeting this afternoon, one being the date at which things begin, second of all, which CPI to use. At this point, bringing stability gives our employees an opportunity to focus on doing their job of meeting the needs of our citizens and keeping our infrastructure intact rather than dealing with a stressful work environment. It also aligns, or this healthier approach also aligns itself with our goal to becoming the healthiest county in Wisconsin by 2015. So I think there are a lot of positives. I think we have had a good record of dealing with budgets in a very creative and beneficial manner for our constituents. No one likes taxes, but let's face it, taxes is what gives us good government. And one of the items that we really haven't talked about a lot is, you know, some people not really sharing in the tax structure. So, or sharing the grief on this. One of the things that county's employees have been doing for a long time is dealing with these issues without a lot of fanfare. So this isn't the first time that they've held their wages. They've been doing it, you know, through the 90s and the 2000s. So I think I will be voting for this and encourage all the other county board supervisors to do the same.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've talked about 2011 and 2012. What does 2013 look like? That hasn't been mentioned to my knowledge.
Well, as far as the number, the dollar savings, it's the same thing as the 2012 slide.
So in other words, they didn't front load more cuts. Traditionally, they normally will put more cuts in the second year of biennium than the first year. They did not do that?
They put more cuts into the base of the calendar year of 2012. Most of that 1.4 is in 2012.
So this is one of the few times that 2013 will not be worse, whatever you want to say.
It doesn't escalate under what the governor's proposed right now. It reduces our base in calendar year 2012.
Thank you very much, sir.
Bill Brockmiller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too feel a little rushed, but it's not by the process that we've undertaken. It's by the 37 days it took to erase 50 years of labor peace and labor negotiations. That felt rushed to me. This is not rushed at all. This is something that way we've been operating for years, as long as I've been on the board and well before I was on the board. I think about people too. I think about the snowplow drivers that get us out of stuck situations and make sure we can get to work and school on time. I think about child protective workers that have to face the daunting task of times of taking a child out of a home because that child is in danger. I think about sheriff deputies to deliver babies on the side of the road, as we recently saw in the news. And I'm not seeing a 2% raise. I don't know. Maybe I went to a different math school, but I'm seeing a 3.8% pay cut in 2012 and 2013, because that's what it is. So we're cutting pay 3.8%, and these unions are agreeing to that, and I can't see a reason in the world not to approve these contracts. And I have to close with a little variation of what Supervisor Mettinger was saying. The important role of union organizations must be omitted. Their object is the representation in the various categories of workers, their lawful collaboration in the economic advance of society, and the development of their sense of responsibility for the realization of the common good. And that's Pope Paul VI. Thank you.
Bridget Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be voting for this resolution. I think it is the least we can do for our employees, for the American working class, for basic human rights. I urge everyone to rise above the politics of fear and envy and vote for it. Thank you.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's really unfortunate that we're in this pressured position due to the implementation of radical changes dictated by the state legislature in a very short time frame. And I just feel that the recommendations of our leadership are something that are really important for us to implement. To take the contracts out to 2012 and 13 will give us the opportunity to make the adjustments that are necessary, not only to immediately provide some sense of security for our current employees, but also to provide some sense of security for the recipients of the services that we provide. Apart from the human service aspects that have been already mentioned, one that I'm particularly concerned about is our transportation situation. Just today, in connection with my work, I heard about a gentleman who has been very, very independent. His driving skills were diminishing, totaled his car this week, lives outside of the city, and is in need of transportation services from now on because he will not be getting his license back. These are the type of things that our county employees provide services to keep the people taken care of. And it doesn't have to be only low-income people. It can be people across the board that need our services. And it's really important that we give our workforce a sense of security and we give our public also a sense of security. I'll be voting in support of this. Thank you.
Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been a union person all my working years, and I sincerely believe in collective bargaining. However, I barely had a time to read this resolution, let alone digest it. You bring this to us at the midnight hour, and ask us to make an intelligent decision on this. I'm thankful that I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm an independent. I'm not going to get caught up in this political fight. That's going down in Madison and that, and it's coming in here. So as an independent, I have no choice but to abstain, and I would recommend any other board member with a sense of fair play do the same.
Ralph Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll tell you, I'm learning more in the last 24 hours than I did in the last 6 months on this. But I need some clarity. You had that slide about the levy limits. We were a million or a million point oh six below what we could have to be at the maximum levy limit.
No, that was the rate limit. 3 million below the levy limit.
Okay, we're 3 million below the levy limit.
Yeah.
But during the discussion, I'm under. We cannot move the levy, or what's going on? Is it 0% and the levy limits won't come into apply, or the rate limit, or whatever?
the dollar amounts that we gave you were under the rules before Governor Walker's administration was there. That's demonstrating how frugal we've been, is that we have not gone to the max. And in fact, as I've said a number of times, we've been at 0% increase for the last 2 years. Our overall increase, after taking account for new construction, has been 1.8%, using the governor's proposal that new construction is not counted into that, but we still expect to be able to do zero for the next 2 years, as has been his expectation.
Okay. So the law now would supersede that rate limit and right. The levy limits. We're at zero plus new construction.
That's correct.
And do we have a what has new construction been running at, a couple percent a year or what?
We had a slide up there that
yeah.
That.
Do we know? I look at the most recent years due to the downturn in the economy. You know, the 10 years ago probably aren't very applicable.
It's averaged 2.3% over the last 10 years.
Yeah, the last two, it's about what, 1.5?
About one.
One? Oh, one. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Jill Billings.
It's actually the next slide back. There you go.
Okay. Jill Billings.
Supervisor Feehan has described this resolution as unreasonable and fiscally irresponsible, and I would have to argue that this is actually La Crosse County, as we always have, doing the best we can with the situation that comes from the state. I would say that the new administration has handed us a situation that's unreasonable and fiscally irresponsible. We're working now to hang on to as much as we can and in as many ways as we can, as creatively as we can, for as long as we can. And why would we want to do that? Well, there are some things in the governor's budget bill that I actually appreciate. For example, in human services, he would like to statewide implement something called an alternative response. And alternative response was piloted here in La Crosse County by our good employees putting in extra work, taking this project on without asking for anything extra. And it's proved to be a better way of doing things and a way of saving money, and so compelling that the governor has included that in his new budget. That's the kind of employees that we have here. And there are examples over and over again. And I'm not comfortable being in a situation that was not our choice, but that was given to us, and taking this out on our employees. I think they've given something here, and we've given something here. We've done the honorable thing, sitting down with them and working out an agreement. To some people, it may seem rushed, but I think we're in a time where we don't know what's going to come next. And I commend staff for stepping up to the plate in these incredibly unusual times and coming up with a very decent proposal in a very unusual, trying, difficult situation.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to start with two quick questions. If I'm remembering, when Supervisor Feehan read Supervisor Burns' comments, he asked the question about the 2% increase. That's what's prescribed in the 2012-13 biennial budget, right, from the governor?
It's prescribed to CPI as right. The maximum, right?
But that's prescribed in that budget bill along with the employee share of pension.
Right.
Those two numbers are
in. It's expected that those two are tied together. That's how everyone's interpreting it. We did a zero this year.
Okay. I wanted to clarify that for the record. And then I don't know how you want to handle this, Mr. Chairman, but there was another number in Supervisor Feehan's comments about about levy increases in La Crosse County in the past 5 years or something like that. Can you just go back and repeat those? I am concerned about misinformation, and I just want to make sure that we are setting the record straight.
You're yielding
sure.
To Mr.
I know you
Feehan.
Had it typed out. So.
You're yielding to Mr. Feehan. Mr. Feehan, go ahead.
Momentarily.
Sure. The period of time is 1999 to 2008. The average increase was 7.25%.
The average increase of what?
The tax levy.
The tax levy. You're saying county portion?
Not the percentage. The dollars that were raised through the tax levy.
The county share of that. So you're saying the county raised
the county
levy.
The county share of the tax levy went up on average 7.25% a year.
Okay.
During that period.
All right, thank you. So now I'm asking Gary to give us the real numbers for 98, 99, whatever it was, to over those years.
The slide that I presented tonight does not include 98, 99, 2000, 2001. I might have that here, so give me some time. But
okay.
Since 2002, for the last 10 years, it's averaged 2.9%. So give me a minute.
Okay. So, well, and I'd be happy to give you that minute. My point is really to continue to ask us as a county board to use accurate information, accurate numbers in this room, when we are in the public, when we speak to the media, whatever the opportunities are, that we are, I believe that we have a responsibility to be true and accurate with the information as we speak as elected officials, and I just encourage all of us to do that. I would echo many comments that were made by several of my more eloquent colleagues here tonight, including Supervisor Mettinger, Supervisor Cruz, Supervisor Brockmiller. Many of the things that they said are things that that I appreciate very much and value, and wish that I had the words to say them myself. What I will do instead is add just a couple of additional points from my perspective. First and foremost, in my opinion, this is an issue of local control. We have an obligation, we have a responsibility, we have a duty to make decisions that are best for La Crosse County. And when our hands are tied and when we are forced by swift actions, legal and otherwise, taken at other levels of government, we still have those responsibilities and duties and obligations to make tough decisions, to make brave decisions. And that is how we assert local control in the seats that we sit in tonight. And I believe that this is a very responsible move on the part of La Crosse County in maintaining local control. The second thing I want to say is, I don't know about any of the other 34 on this board, but I have heard from one constituent. And that includes after the media advertised or talked about this decision coming before us tonight. It was in the Tribune. It was in electronic media. It's been talked about on talk radio. We knew that this was coming. And while it would maybe be nice to have a few more days to think about it, it is being talked about in this community. And we did know that this decision was in front of us. And in spite of that, I still have only heard from one constituent in the last 72 hours on this issue. Maybe others of you have heard from lots of others. I am sharing with you that part of why I will be voting yes tonight on this resolution is because of that one constituent who talked with me about how brilliant this resolution was. And this is a person who owns a small business. This is a person who employs about 24 employees that generates about $5 million in sales in the course of an average year in La Crosse County, pays taxes at the county level, in the city of La Crosse, at the state level, at the federal level. And this business owner sees this as a win-win, because it does not cost La Crosse County taxpayers any more money than if we did nothing and just followed what the budget bill prescribes that we do. This is a 3.8% pay cut to represented La Crosse County employees. Let's be very clear about that. This is a pay cut for unionized employees who work for La Crosse County. And to get a multi-year contract deal in these times that includes a pay cut was impressive to him. The last thing that I want to say is I am an all boats rise kind of gal. And I believe that everyone deserves to earn a living wage. And I wish that in our community that were true. For those of you who don't know, my background is in United Way, and I worked for many, many years with lots of agencies in this community that worked with lots of folks in deep, desperate need. And also the employees of those agencies that did not get paid well and did not have organized labor representing them. Employees at places that were doing the most important, valuable work to our community, like providing childcare, providing care for disabled folks. And those folks don't make enough money, in my opinion. And I wish that we could, as I said earlier, raise all boats up to a higher level. But I find it hateful and I find it hurtful that anyone would decide that a way to make things better is to trample on or step on those who have worked hard to have the benefits and the compensation that they are currently getting. And when we allow ourselves to become part of that argument, that it's okay to start hacking away and taking away from at the expense or at the benefit of those who are at the top end of the scale, I think that we diminish ourselves as individuals. I think we diminish ourselves as a body. And I would really, I just encourage all of you to vote with me in support of this resolution in the hope that we continue to build and strengthen the middle class of this community and the taxpayers who are in the middle class of this county that we live in and that we are very, very proud to represent. I encourage everyone to vote yes.
Bill Feehan.
I take exception to the idea that the numbers that I'm putting out here tonight are somehow inaccurate. And I would just encourage people at home to go to the county website, go to the Registrar of Deeds, and pull up your property tax records and do the math and see what the rates of taxes are. The tax records go back about 10 years. And I did that for about 50 different properties in the course of my county board race, in addition to taking the numbers from past budgets and from past property tax levies. So, you know, we can't separate out the fact that we had new construction and that that created new revenues. You just can't separate that out. That's still spending. And I guess the public will be the judge of whether or not they think that their property taxes are rising faster than their incomes or not. I just like to say that this isn't something that's hateful. I'm representing people here tonight who maybe don't have as many people in this body as they should, but I know there are a lot of people in this county that are very concerned about the rate that their taxes have gone up, property taxes. So my thoughts, as I said before, are with those people, and whether or not the 2% increase results in a 3.3% property tax increase or it results in a reduction in our reserves, or it results in lost jobs for county workers, I think the numbers speak for themselves, and that concludes my remarks.
Mr. O'Malley.
Mr. Feehan, I've heard you quote 7.92. I've heard you in other forms quote 5.2. Could I have the next slide, please? This is using the governor's own methodology of what would be exempt from the levy limit, which is new construction. I don't have the whole slide there, but it is the total amount. The numbers you have quoted, and I've seen you do this several times over the last 10 years, quotes 5.2%. That, whether you take out new construction or not, same numbers, same everything. 5.2% over that period of time. Not focusing on the last 3 or 4 years where the economy has been tough and we've been holding the line even more. In 2007, yeah, that was a pretty good economic time. But we still had most of it, 2.9%, covered by new customers. The governor recognizes that, and you know I don't agree with the governor on a few things. The point is that new construction is about taxing the new value of new customers. And if I can go to the next slide, this isn't playing games with math. This is the actual numbers of the effect on our taxpayers. The last 2 years, the only increase in county taxes was for debt service. That's how tight this budget was, and we're going to have to do it again. And I would love to see your numbers, because I want you to do the comparison on county taxes, not the whole tax bill. We're not responsible for the city. We're not responsible for the school. I've done the numbers. I've done the 10 years of analysis. The county tax levy has been relatively equal over that same period of time, and I'll go through, and I've shown you those numbers. But where you came up with that 7.9, you went back 2 years prior to most of the people were on this board where there were 14% increases. Most of the board members weren't even here then. That was 2000 and 2001.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and please excuse my former outburst. I get a little excited. So here's where we find ourselves. The state administration, with no discussion or forewarning, has given more handouts to the wealthy, driven high-speed rail out of the state and the money and jobs that came with it, and with no discussion, local governments have had the rug pulled out from under us. And the decision rested from us on how to deal with our employees. To be clear, when you pay more into WRS, that is a pay cut. When you take unpaid time off, that is a pay cut. When you pay more for your health care, that is a pay cut. I think it's important that we deal honestly with our employees for the good of our residents, and this resolution comes as close to that as we can get. So I urge passage of this resolution. Thank you.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just think it should also be noted that this problem has arisen over the last 20 years that were $3.6 billion. So it's not just all of a sudden a problem in the last year or 2 years or 3 years, but that's, we've spent 20 years getting ourselves into this problem. And I hope that we as local elected or our state officials realize that we can't keep spending and kicking it down the road. Thank you.
Tina Weirs.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments from both viewpoints tonight. I applaud the efforts of our employees, and I resent this union versus non-union rhetoric. We're all in this together. You guys are doing a great thing by compromising. In the private sector, they're compromising. They're taking no pay increases either. It's frustrating. It's horrible. I wish we all could get 10% increases in the next couple years. But I have a fundamental problem with us binding a future board to a contract that they don't vote on. That is my fundamental problem with this. If we would have said 2011, 2012, fine. I appreciate what they do. I am in this with you. But I have a fundamental problem of us binding a future board that may or may not look like this board to a contract that they can't vote on. I would hope that they would come back and vote the same way that this is tonight, or hopefully there will be, our economy will start coming back and they'll have more money to work with. But that's not the case right at this moment. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote on the computer. If you are in favor of the resolution, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no. Resolution is passed on a vote of 25-3. Next, is there anything further under your report, Mr. O'Malley? Okay. Cards and correspondence are over on the board there. No meetings during recess. That gets us to appointments.
Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. I have two appointments to make tonight, Terry Larson to the Board of Adjustment and Terry Houlihan to the Board of Adjustment. I would ask for approval.
It's been moved by Chairman Doyle, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Those two appointments, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Those appointments are made unanimously.
Thank you. Next up is the consent agenda. Is there a motion on that? Moved by Roger Plesha to approve, seconded by Jerry Sobranek. Any discussion or questions on the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Next up is Planning, Resource, and Development. Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could I take all of them at once for unanimous?
You can
I'm
try
asking.
It.
We're in a bind for time. We got to get this done, you know.
He's asking for unanimous consent to consider all of them at the same time. Does anybody have any objection to that? Mr. Ebert, do you have a particular one that you want to hold out?
I just don't like the attitude that we have to hurry.
Okay, it's not an issue of attitude. It's an issue of procedure. Do you want to object to doing them all at the same time? Okay. Sharon Hampson?
I object to taking them as a group. I fought this with George Hamas. May he rest in peace. I think it's important that each individual one gets addressed, and there is one of them that I don't want to pass. So, yeah.
Item 3.6, Mr. Meyer.
Zoning petition number 1862 by Thomas and Wendy Marchand on behalf of Marchand Landscaping Group Incorporated to rezone for industrial district, commercial district B to in the town of Unalaska. This was voted unanimously in committee, so I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Mr. Monti. Any discussion or questions on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 3-7, conditional use permit number 823, filed by Fred and Elizabeth Schoenberg to excavate and sell borrowed materials from approximately one-half-acre site along the north side of Logging Road on land that is zoned exclusive agriculture district in the town of Barrie. Passed unanimously. I move for approval.
Mr. Meyer moves committee report, which is to approve. Seconded by Mr. Bina. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Zoning position number 1863 by David Herlitzka D&E Herlitzka Trust to rezone Agriculture District A to Commercial District C in the town of Unalaska. This passed 3-2 in committee. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve. Is there a second? Second by Marilyn Pedretti. Discussion. Sharon Hampson.
I would like to hear from one of the two that voted no. And their reasons for it.
I don't know who those were.
Bev and I.
Okay, Mr. Meyer.
My main reason is I thought they were here about 2 or 3 months ahead of time. They were talking about things that weren't planned yet. Didn't really know what they were going to do. And if you read the minutes, you'll see that comes out very clearly. So that's why I voted no.
Bev, Mike, anything further to add?
I voted no much for the same reason. He really didn't have really a clue quite what he was going to do. He hadn't brought the association together for discussion. I just felt it was too soon for us to pass this. So I voted no.
Mr. Bina.
I, on the other hand, voted yes because this was just a preliminary deal that he came in with. He has to have a plan. He has to bring it back. It has to be approved as to where he's going to have all these other things laying as he develops it into something different than he did, because the ownership did change hands not too long ago, and now he's just reorganizing the whole thing.
Ralph Geary?
What did Jeff Blusky recommend?
Want to bring Jeff up?
We recommended approval. There was a difference between the county's plan and the town plan, if you read that in the minutes. So That's why we put the condition on there that indicated that the town plan had to be amended before this will even change zoning.
Jerry Sobranek, did you have a question or comment?
It was just a point of information. Wasn't Supervisor Hampson's request just to hear the two no votes?
We did. Those are Mr. Meyer and...
So we're on discussion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any further discussion or questions? Jill Billings.
I'm sorry, I can't remember on these zoning things, the procedure. If we feel like it is going too quickly, there's a way to slow it down without him losing his the money and the time that he's already put in toward this permit, right, Jeff?
He'd have to pay again.
If the petition is turned down, he can't bring it up for another year.
But there's a way to
if it's held over, I think is
if it's held over at the request for more information, then they would have to end up paying again. But if it's just held over for the sake of waiting for something else to happen and it's not more information, then they don't have to pay.
That answer your question?
Well, it's held over for an indefinite amount of time?
It can be.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion to hold this over with respect to the committee chair who's been doing this a lot longer than I have, and I take what he has to say. I take that as a strong advisement for me on making decisions on things like this. So I'll make a move to hold it over.
For how long?
Indefinitely.
No.
And I'm open for amendments.
I'm holding it over indefinitely, I think, is effectively killing it, and I don't think that's what you intended to do. So I would ask that you put a time frame on there, 30, 60 days, whatever.
I'll say 60 days.
All right. Is there a second? Seconded by Bridget Flood. Discussion on holding over for 60 days. Leon Paff.
Doesn't that have to, when there's a motion on the floor, don't we have to act on that and then make the amendment?
To hold over supersedes.
Motion to hold over supersedes.
Right. Okay, we have all sorts of hands up here. Tina Weirs, I think I saw yours first.
Sorry, what are we looking for in holding it over? Do we have to specify we need more information? I mean, where's the committee supposed to go with this? Are we supposed to get more information? Is he supposed to come back? I guess hold it over for 60 days and get no more information?
Who are you addressing that to?
Whoever wants to answer it.
Jill Billings wants to answer it, I hope. Her motion.
My understanding is it's not soup yet. So I don't... And so I'm saying let's wait for 60 days and I don't want to ask for more information because then he has to pay that extra fund, but let's wait till it's soup.
Mr. Meyer.
Bill, does this then mean it comes back to our committee after Jeff advises him if her amendment would pass?
The motion is to postpone it for 60 days. It would come directly back to the county board. They haven't asked for any further information or any further action by the committee.
Jeff, what will you do if we hold it over?
The town of Onalaska is required to go through a six-step process in order to amend their town plan, and it's going to take more than 60 days. I'm thinking it's going to take like 6 to 7 months. Okay. The county plan has indicated that this 66-foot strip adjacent to this condominium of cold storage buildings is okay to be zoned. The town plan, however, does not allow that yet because the town plan has a different classification on it than commercial. So in order to be consistent with their plan and say yes, it's going to take 6 to 7 months, maybe longer, because I think the town of Onalaska had indicated that they only wanted to do this once a year. So I don't know if they're going to wait until they get two or three more of these. We really don't have much input into the town process. but it taking 6 to 7 months.
I have a question, and I don't know if it's for you, Mr. Blusky, or you, Mr. Meyer. The motion that was adopted by the committee, can you read that?
Well, it's written, it's on the blue.
Right. Can you read it?
By a vote of three in favor and two opposed, Meyer and Mock, and two excused, Kyle and Mathai, the committee recommended approval contingency on the town of Unalaska's amending their town use plan to indicate the use of consistent with their plan to file official correspondence indicating the change.
Okay, I think that essentially, Ms. Billings, your concern has been addressed by that motion. What the motion is on the floor prior to your motion to hold over says is that nothing happens till the town of Onalaska does its thing. Does that satisfy your concern or no?
Well, I guess part of my concern is in the minutes I see people saying things like, I don't know what's going on with, I don't know if I can find the exact quote, but...
But I think that is why it was that contingency was added, is that people are saying what's going on. What about give the town of Onalaska a chance to weigh in on this? But it's your motion. I just wanted to clarify with you if what you were intending to do is already satisfied. If not, we leave the motion on the floor. That's fine.
Well, I see that this would slow things down, but we don't get another chance to visit it. I mean, we decide now. I was going to say kick at the cat, but I've been told not to say that anymore. Let's vote on my amendment.
Okay. On the motion to hold over. Yeah. I'm not calling the vote. No, while she's not the chair. I got more people on the list here. And Audrey Cotter's next.
My suggestion would be, I think what Ms. Billings was looking for was to hold it over until the town of Onalaska has filed the official correspondence indicating the change, their support of the change.
So that's there.
Yeah.
Well. All right, we're descending into anarchy here. Please wait till I call on you. Mr. Bina, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, we really don't need the amendment because we can pass this, and it's going to take at least that long, if not longer, because as I understood, that lot of 66 feet was a DNR road that they will not allow to be turned over yet until they get persuaded. And this guy, Herlitsky, has got a consultant working. He's putting his plan together. And that's going to take some time, too. So if we do nothing, I think that would be the right thing to do because this isn't going to start tomorrow morning. It's going to start when they come back and say that they revised that town plan, and then Jeff is going to implement it after that. Period.
On the motion to hold over for 60 days, Jeff Schrader.
The chair hit it on the head. Don Bina hit it on the head. This will be taken care of, and whenever the town changes their plan, and I'd like to call a question.
We have one more person on the list I'd like to give everybody a chance to talk, and that is Mr. Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh,
however, I'm going to also ask for who is the supervisor that this is in their district. I think we ignore at our own peril asking the person who it represents, and I think we do it constantly, and I think we need to start asking that person. So I wish to hear from that. Supervisor, please.
What is the address of this one? That's yours?
I know where it is, and I know that they have been working on it, but I have had no calls on it as far as any difficulty with it or not. The town has to amend the plan for it to be to comply with the county plan. It's
Maryland.
Just a very small strip of land there. That's
Marilyn Pedretti.
Okay. The minutes certainly do show there's some confusion. I think the confusion comes in that we were looking at two parcels.
We're looking at this parcel that what we're rezoning, and we're looking at a parcel we already rezoned. And I think that's where the confusion comes in. This is for a zoning petition for this parcel only. And it's for a parking lot. It can be nothing more than a parking lot. There are easements on it. That's an easement to get to some land that's in the swamps. So nothing else can be built. That is why I voted for it, even though I didn't feel like their ducks were in a row on the other parcel. But that was not the issue. We're looking at this as the zoning issue for this parcel of land.
Any further?
And I don't see what 60 days will do, so I would vote against the motion.
Jill Billings?
I withdraw my motion.
The seconder, do you withdraw your second? That was Bridget Flood, right? Bridget, you withdraw your second? Okay, that is off the floor then, so we're now down to the...
Just a point of parliamentary procedure, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
Was my understanding that once something has been on the floor, it belongs to the whole floor and not to just the first and second person, and that it has to have the concurrence of the body to be withdrawn at that time?
Mr. Shepard? Mr. Shepard says that we've allowed people to withdraw in the past, so that's my ruling, is that we're going to allow it to be withdrawn. If somebody wants to make a new motion to that effect, they have the right to do that. No, you just make a, you can make a motion to hold it over for 60 days. Okay, well, that may be. If somebody wants to challenge the chair, they have the right to. I'm hoping we can get home tonight yet.
I move for approval.
Well, it's already on the floor. Mr. Spiker.
I'm not challenging the chair. My concern is then to agriculture A to commercial C, and it's for a parking lot.
Correct.
Under commercial C, they can't change it, or could they change it, change their mind? Well, right now you have the idea it's a parking lot. There's a lot of other things that come under commercial C. Mm-hmm.
Jeff, go ahead.
Okay. I can't remember who mentioned it, but this was a road that went back to some fish and was the quarry owned by Matthew. Fish and Wildlife purchased this, but they still want to get back there, so no buildings can be placed on that. That was the restriction on the easement. The confusion that's coming in, according to Supervisor Pedretti, is correct. This started out as a condominium plat on the larger parcel, and the property owner introduced some commercial activity, some retail sales, rather than commercial. Our zoning ordinance kicks in when there's a change in occupancy that says now you have to have parking. The condominium plat had not been adjusted yet. That's where the confusion was coming in. The rezoning for this was going to add parking for some of these buildings, but it was distant from the retail place. So everybody's trying to picture how this thing is going to look like when it's all done. That was the confusion. So, yeah, pretty simple. Yeah.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, the resolution is what is on the floor, which is to approve subject to the Town of Onalaska changing the plan. Let's do this one on the computer. If you are in favor of the resolution as it came from committee, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no.
Oh, wait a minute.
Jenny, I voted wrong. I voted wrong.
Can you wipe it out? The whole thing or just this?
A paper ballot.
Okay.
Chicago.
The resolution has passed on a vote of 25 to 5, and I'm going to turn things over just a moment to Mr. Shepherd with regard to his interpretation of parliamentary procedure.
Well, certainly there are different aspects of the rules, but at least on page 39, it indicates that that a motion could be withdrawn. So I think that that was a proper action by this body and the chair.
Mr. Chairman?
Ms. Burke?
I think that the motion may be withdrawn as long as no discussion has occurred on the motion. But once discussion has occurred, then it has become the property of the body.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask Mr. Shepherd to do a little further investigation, and he can report back to us next meeting. And he says he'd be happy to do that. So, all right. Mr. Meyer, what's up next?
Let's see. Item 3-9, conditional use permit number 824, filed by Todd and Tanya Wright to operate a landscaping and excavating business and contractor storage for separate unrelated owner and business on the land that is zoned exclusive agriculture district in the town of Holland. This was approved unanimously by the committee. I vote ask for your approval.
Mr. Mayor moves with the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Mr. Bina. Any discussion or questions?
With the 13 conditions.
With 13 conditions, thank you. Discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Okay, item 3-10, conditional use permit 825, filed by David and Donna Wolf to operate a coach busing transporting business on 4.69 acres of land that is zoned exclusive agriculture in the district town of Bangor. This was voted and approved unanimously. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Mr. Meyer?
That is it.
Thank you, sir. Executive Committee, Terry Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 3-11 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding acknowledging the best of public service. Dr. Maxwell Cubbage in Human Services Clinical Department, 18-plus years, and Peggy Crowley, Hillview Healthcare Center, 21-plus years. Now, therefore, be it resolved that a resolution extending our congratulations be recorded in La Crosse County Board proceedings and a certificate of our actions be presented as an expression of our gratitude. I move its approval.
Moved by Chair Johnson, seconded by Leon Paff. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 3-12 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board, a resolution regarding 3-year statement of intentions for Department of Transportation. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby approves the attached Harbor Development Statement of Intentions for the years 2012-2014. Fiscal note is funding sources for 2013 proposed improvement projects are fleeting rental of $30,000 and Department of Transportation Harbor Assistance Program, or HAP, funds for $120,000. I move its approval.
Second.
Moved by Terry Johnson, seconded by Don Meyer. Any questions or discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 3-13 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding authorization to transfer funds from land records undesignated fund balance to pay for Fiddler E recording software maintenance. Whereas the annual software maintenance cost for e-recording in the amount of $2,700 is due for calendar year, and whereas this amount was inadvertently omitted from the 2011 land records budget, now therefore be it resolved that $2,700 be transferred from the land records undesignated fund balance to ORG 2600 Land Recording Info Center, account number 74082, computer software maintenance, to cover the cost of this expense. The fiscal note is there is approximately $511,000 available in the land records undesignated fund balance. I move its approval.
Second.
Moved by Terry Johnson, second by Don Meyer. Questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 3-14 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Pardon me. Resolution to accept healthy living contract increase health educator 1 hours by 0.09 FTE by 3.5 hours per week, and hire a limited term employee work assistant for 150 hours between May and September of 2011. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the health department is authorized to accept the healthy living contract for $25,000 for the period January 1, 2011 through December 31, 2011 to hire a work assistant from approximately May 1st through September 30th, 2011, and to increase the hours of one existing health educator from 0.66 to 0.76 FTE for the length of the contract. Fiscal note is the cost of the additional hours for the length of the contract is $4,384 for salary and $683 for fringes for a total of $5,067. The remaining funds in the contract will be used to meet contract objectives. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson, seconded by Monica Cruz. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 13-5 is in your packet, and it's labeled the Regional Principles of Collaboration Compact. This comes to us as a product of the work of the Seven Rivers Alliance. You'll see on page 2 in of the numbered agenda item that there are 31 compact signers to date. And while we don't have a formal resolution, I would move that La Crosse County identify itself as one of the co-signers for the compact as well.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Margaret Wood. Any discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Health and Human Services Board, Sharon Hampson.
I yield the floor to Jill Billings, as I was not here and didn't run the meeting.
Thanks. Ms. Billings.
Thank you to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. I have item 3-16 regarding approval of acceptance of art show funds for Wisconsin Well Women Program. Whereas Ann Peterson, owner of Gallery La Crosse, wishes to donate funds to assist breast cancer patients who are in financial need, and whereas funds will be used to assist Wisconsin Well Women Program qualifying individuals with purchases of breast cancer necessities or provide other financial assistance as deemed necessary. Whereas these funds will be raised at the annual art show, which selects different programs to receive donations annually, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby accept the art show donation of approximately $50 to $300 for the period July to December 2011. Be it further resolved that the Health Department is authorized to distribute these funds as determined by the standards of the WWWP program. Fiscal note, the total amount raised will be deposited in account 8517-59030 cash contributions, with expenditures being paid out of account 8517-79037 donation expense money. And I move for its approval.
Moved by Jill Billings. Is there a second? Seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
I have item 3-17 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding approval of acceptance of horse show funds for Wisconsin Well Women Program. Whereas Julie Harder, owner of Bits and Bridle Horse Stables, wishes to donate funds to assist breast cancer patients who are in financial need, and whereas funds will be used to assist Wisconsin Well Women Program qualifying individuals with purchases of breast cancer necessities or provide other financial assistance as deemed necessary. Whereas these funds will be raised at the annual horse show honoring Ms. Harder's family and friends who've gone through breast cancer. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby accept the horse show donation of approximately $2,500 for the period January to December 2011. Be it further resolved that the Health Department is authorized to distribute these funds as determined by the standards of the WWWP program. Fiscal note, the total amount raised will be deposited in account 8517-59030 cash contributions, with expenditures being paid out of account 8517-79037 donation expense money. And I move for its approval.
Moved by Jill Billings, seconded by Tina Weirs. Discussion? Mr. Geary.
I didn't know that. Do we have to have a resolution to accept money for our donations? Oh, we do have to, and then designate the account or organ. I didn't know that.
Gary is nodding his head.
If they donate it anonymously, do we just say it donated anonymously? Okay.
Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Billings?
That's all. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next, we have suggestions for future agenda topics. Jeff Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to make a comment. I forgot to thank one more county department when I was thanking people at the beginning of the program here. That's the highway department. They have helped us a great deal over in the town of Campbell.
Thank Sounds you. Good. Mr. Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I just, remembering back to the Bobby Erickson case, and you had threatened or said that you had the legal authority to have us compelled to attendance. And I wonder what that legal authority is and what level of force the sheriff has allowed in order to bring us in. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Shepard, you can research that and get back to us next month or whenever. Bev Mock.
I'm wondering if in the future we might have an agenda item on mass transit and perhaps invite Keith Carlson to talk to us. Public transit is being taken out of the transportation fund at the state level and put into the general fund, and the revenues in the general fund are being reduced, and I'm not sure how that's going to affect our area. Some of the services we provide, the county provides, use mass transit, and I think we maybe ought to hear what this means. I handed out information to some of the chairs of the committees that are involved in this area, perhaps with the services that they provide, and you might want to look at this.
We should probably have Keith Carlson in conjunction with Noreen Kurofsky, because that has some impact on various.
That's why Roger, you got a copy of this information, because he's chair of the Aging and Long-Term Care Commission.
Okay, we'll do that. I think that's a really good idea. But back, Mr. Ebert, are you planning to go to Illinois or something? That's what, why you're asking that question?
If I was going to go somewhere, it would be a hell of a lot better than Illinois.
But also don't assume that I'd send the sheriff to come and get you back.
I would never make that assumption.
Mr. Bina. I think that's a good point. Yeah. Bev Mock.
I want to make one more comment. In 2002, the state legislature passed a law that said the Department of Transportation is supposed to be concerned about more than cars, you know, pedestrian, biking, busing, and, you know, all this. And now, right. So.
Any other suggestions for future agenda items? Mr. Spiker.
My second request, could we have an update on Lakeview Business Park, either written by Brian or something? I know some suggestion on a policy thing, but I see your agenda is not listed there. So,
Let's put it on the agenda for next planning meeting.
Just an update to find out what's going on.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's good. Anybody else? Future agenda items. That gets us then to Mr. Sobranek.
Well, thank you. To everybody who's Irish, happy St. Patrick's Day. But anyway, this Irishman walks out of a bar. No, really, it could happen. It could really happen. I move the adjourn.
Seconded by Mr. Brockmiller. All in favor say aye. Opposed no. Carried unanimously.